All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of The Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything, the show where I, your host, Cole Prasenji, get to sit down with interesting folks from a myriad of fields. We got to take a look at what they do, what makes them tick, and some of the challenges that they face. Today with me, I have Casper Hickman. Casper, would you introduce yourself, what you do, and where you're from?
I sure can. So Casper Hickman, I do real estate media for, I do media for real estate professionals, photo and video. I have my own business, Hickman Aerial, and yeah, here focus here in Bellingham and Whatcom County, Skagit County, and yeah, started back in 2020. Well, here in Bellingham in like 2024, January 2024.
Yeah. All right. So this episode, I really just want to look at you and the entrepreneurial side that you've come into. So just like generally speaking, when you were a kid, did you always have an entrepreneurial bone in your body, or is this kind of like a happy series of accidents?
I don't know. I mean, I think like, you know, I think at one point I did like the lemonade stand, which I don't know if that'd be considered entrepreneurial or not. Mm. Maybe. I think, yeah, I've always wanted to do something to earn money. Mm. I mean, when I was 14, like that was at the time where like you're too young to really work unless you have your parents sign off. And I tried to get a job at like a landscaping company, but that didn't work. As soon as I turned like 16, I got a job at McDonald's, worked there for 2 years. And then I went to college. And so, for the longest time, like I didn't actually want to own my own business. And then not sure what shifted, or maybe it was just COVID or something. Maybe it was like that whole side hustle. I think it was a side hustle thing of like 2020 and COVID times. But yeah, before that, I didn't really want to own my own business. Like I just wanted to punch the clock 9 to 5. But just a series of jobs, and I think working for an employer that didn't value my time as much. Just those, having some experiences where it's like, well, I have these experiences that I've collected over the last, you know, decade or two. And then I'll, you know, want to give owning my own business a try and go from there.
All right. So you said it started in COVID. Mm-hmm. What specifically was the thing that kind of started it all moving?
Yeah. So a couple of things. I think around that time, like everybody was sick at home and people were all about the idea of like having a side hustle. So started there. From there, I was like, well, what side hustle do I want? Like I like to travel. I like to take pictures. I mean, I've always taken pictures with, not as much with a camera, but like with my camera phone. And, my wife and I went on our honeymoon around the Southwest through like 4 or 5 different national parks. I was taking lots of pictures, and so just like something that blended that together was travel, like having my own travel blog. So that was what kind of started it. From there, I set up, like I created the website that was okay. And then I had already purchased a drone. And so it was kind of the mix of COVID times of having a side hustle, having a drone, and it's like, well, I want to get a better drone, but I can't afford it. So, how can I make money out with this drone, which is real estate photography? And then I just kind of stuck with it. And I saw some people that I followed on social media that were like traveling, getting paid to travel to like Vashon Island or wherever. And it's like, well, like that sounds great. That sounds like a mix of like adventuring, which I like to do, photography, and yeah, just being able to get paid and like just get away from the desk.
So can you tell us, with this side hustle that eventually became your main hustle, what was your first job? How did that come about?
Yeah. So my first job with like real estate photography and drone photography was with my aunt. Kathy owns, she's a real estate agent. And so before I got my Part 107, which is allows me to fly my drone commercially, I kind of put out, you know, like a Facebook post. It's like, I have a drone. If I had my drone license, like, would there be any agents that are friends of mine or that follow me that would, you know, pay me to take drone pictures? And then she said yes. And so she was my first client and continue to be my client, always support each other. And, that was back in, I don't know, like August, September of 2022, maybe 2022.
Okay. And how was that experience, that learning curve that you ran into, I'm sure?
It was interesting. I mean, just looking back on it, that time, I was editing the photos myself. And so I had subscription to Lightroom, Adobe Lightroom. Mm-hmm. I would like take all the pictures, edit them myself, and then like put them in Google Drive at that time, send an email with all the links, you know, with a link to the Google Drive for her download. And then try to find a way to like get paid either through like PayPal or Venmo before I actually had a business account.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, hopefully the IRS isn't watching. But I mean, so that was the first, and of course, like over the last 2+ years, things have definitely leveled up and I've learned a lot. But that's kind of how I started, was, you know, like wanting to do the side hustle, wanting to do something with photography. And
So when you look back at that first job's quality of work, mm-hmm. what's your thoughts on it? He's like, I did that right. She got her money's worth. Or like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah. She was okay with it.
I mean, we got to start somewhere. Mm. And like when I'm coaching real estate agents on getting on camera, it kind of is the same idea where it's like, you know, even people, so people like us or even people that are on like social media that have these professionally produced videos, like they all had to start somewhere. Mm. And I think it's not helpful to think of it like, you know, this is like, it was so bad back then. Or just like, that was the best that I could do at that time. Since then, like shortly after that, I, you know, bought a course on how to do real estate photography. I joined a couple of different communities on real estate photography, learned all these different skills, got some, like got revenue so I could buy better equipment. But I think at that time it was the best that I could do. And yeah, I mean, like it helped the house, you know, get on the market. And I mean, compared to not having drone photos, definitely worthwhile to do it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, you gravitate to this field. We talked a little bit about how you like to travel, you like taking photos. These were things that you were naturally inclined towards. Mm-hmm. But why did you stay in this field? Why did you decide to make this your main hustle?
I think, why did I want to do this full time? I think I just saw an opportunity to I saw an opportunity to work for myself. And I saw, like, I at that point I'd been in, like the community, the real estate photography community for over a year. And like I had bought a couple courses on like real estate photography from people that had been doing it for a while that were sharing. And I guess I saw a potential to be able to make enough to support myself. And I think just kind of being my own boss and
it's that independence.
Independence. And I think just like a lot of times there's people that want to like see if they can do it or see if they can do it. And
So what were you doing before the videography or the photography, I should say?
Yeah. So, right before that, I worked for a media agency where I did Google Ads and Microsoft Ads. Mm. And so I had that analysis, like marketing experience. And before that, I had worked at the company was called Market Leader. At one point, they were owned by Zillow. So it's like a real estate CRM. So I worked for them for 8 years. And I worked for them during COVID times. And partly why I wanted to do like have a side hustle is because they didn't pay me very well. They had at one point like given me a promotion. They promoted me to a new position, but they didn't actually increase my pay.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm sure that has not happened to anybody else, but, but yeah, so like a lot of those factors have, kind of coalesced to where I'm at now.
Mm. So having been in this field now for a few years, been doing it full time for about a year. About a year. What are the biggest problems or motivations that are pulling you to say we should quit, if there are any?
We should quit?
Yeah. Like what's there that goes, this isn't worth it, that's not working? Or are these just not factors at all? Are you all in?
I mean, I would say that I'm all in. And one reason I'm all in is because I guess I have the vision and I have the community to see other people doing it successfully. So I've been in coaching, like part of this community, like one of the people offers coaching to a group of like coaching to people that are just starting out or coaching to people that have been doing it for a while. Mm. And so with that, because a lot of times, right, like we don't know what we don't know. Mm. And by doing this coaching, I'm able to have like a, you know, one-on-one coach, and also they do like group calls every day kind of. Mm. So I'm able to like see like a year to a couple of years in front of me of like people that are doing it. And so there is that, you know, like that fear of, you know, not thinking that I can do this or like thinking like everything's going to crumble. So definitely have those fears at times. But I think what keeps me going is just seeing that there's success of other people that are doing it in other areas. Mm. And being able to like reach out to them and like use them as a support system.
Right.
So a lot of it is being able to go around that fear of the unknown. Mm. And just look at other examples and the, you know, the next 6 to 12 months of what other people have done in my shoes.
Oh, that's great. It's being able to look your peers around you and say, they've done it. They've done it this way. I'm doing it in a very similar way. Mm-hmm. Provide things go to plan.
Yeah.
I can expect something similar.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I've noticed is like in the community that I'm in, there's people that, you know, it's kind of, there's people that are in like bigger markets, like for example, for Seattle or, mm-hmm. Just areas with a lot of agents, which is great because their methods that they coach on help those kind of agents, those kind of business owners. Mm. They do have some that are kind of in a smaller market that I'm in. And so I'm able to take some ideas from there as well. And I can also be creative in like the path that I want to take. Mm. Like I talked about, my path is doing videography and just helping agents get on camera. Mm. So just kind of being able to see like an avenue or a path that I can focus on where I can be like a specialist and provide value. Mm.
So what are your personal qualities that you think have been uniquely valuable as you've gone on this entrepreneurial journey? Mm-hmm.
I think I've had a lot of experience working in jobs where I do customer service. I think that is like in this business, the customer service is like number one. Because like we talked about in previous episodes, like for the most part, most people can do like good enough quality photos. Mm. And so, you know, what sets us apart or what sets the successful business apart is offering that customer service, offering like making the client's life easier, whether that's with online booking or whether that's with like when they have questions being available or whether that's with just all these different options or whether that's being their consultant and helping them get in front of the camera. Mm. Just being like there's customer service and knowing like trying to be part of their team and not just like a, like a vendor.
There's a personal attachment that is being connected.
I think so. I think, a big part of the enjoyment for me for this business is being like building those relationships. Mm. And especially with like the clients that value me and trust me and I trust them. Like having that friendly relationship and like supporting them if they're doing like a fundraiser, go joining them at the fundraiser, like taking like if they're doing an event, going there and bringing like my wife and daughter. Mm. And so it's more than just like a job. It's like being part of the community and helping agents and small businesses too. Mm.
I have noticed that. That's I didn't expect my social life to become more active when you start becoming a business owner and you start networking. And it's nice because, like, good heavens, after college, I think everyone has that moment where they realize, oh, the friends that I have now, this is all I'm going to get. It's hard to meet people. Mm-hmm. But if you're going out to all these functions, every now and then you meet neat people and you get to work with them. And occasionally you even meet people that you really like. Mm-hmm. And that's a special moment.
Yeah. And I think we have the ability to pick and choose. Like we can work with people that we like and we can kind of in some level, pick and choose who we work with. Mm. And just being able to like have that confidence and value in yourself. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay. So inversely, what are some of the personal qualities that if someone does have, they should probably nix media production, entrepreneurship? What are the bad qualities?
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting question. I think, I'm not sure like the, you know, the qualities that somebody has. I think, because I think most people can do this type of work, but like you really have to focus on, you know, serving the clients. And so if you're not somebody, if you're somebody that gets stressed out, or like there's some media business owners that have been doing it for a long time in other markets where like if somebody, you know, reaches out wanting help with like how to download the photos or something, and like, they just doesn't understand that level of like that's part of the job to be supportive, or somebody that as a business owner, it can be really hard to disconnect, like nights and weekends, like we're still working.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to find ways to disconnect and learn how to set up boundaries, then that's probably not a good, being an entrepreneur is probably not a good spot for you, because, you know, then you get burned out really quickly. And
Have you had any personal qualities that have proven to become challenges that you've had to work to overcome in this whole journey?
Yeah. So, I can be very, very quick to respond, as far as like, if somebody texts me or somebody messages me or something, like I can be very quick to like communicate back. And like something that I'm actively working on now is just trying to be like disconnect from social media. Cause like, I can get into that loop of like doom scrolling, or like thinking that it's about work, of like, oh, I'm on real estate commenting on real estate agents' posts. Like that's work. I mean, it can be beneficial and it can be helpful, but like, it can be more beneficial to disconnect and unplug.
Right.
And so like, I sometimes have that addictive personality of like, every time I pick up my phone, like automatically go to Facebook or Instagram or something. And I think a lot of us have that challenge. And sometimes like I'll go to Facebook or Instagram and then like hold my phone for like 5 minutes and try to think of like, why did I pick up my phone in the first place? Or even not having a reason to pick up my phone. And so, just trying to like manage those like addictive habits.
Mm-hmm. No, that's totally fair. Good heavens. It doesn't help when a lot of these platforms are so tailored to kind of trigger those tendencies.
Yeah.
I know my wife, she had to get rid of TikTok largely for that.
Yeah. I don't use TikTok, but I'm guessing, I think it like automatically scrolls to the next video every time.
And yeah. I didn't realize this, but you can't like search for things normally. Like on YouTube, you can look for topics. You can't do that on TikTok. Huh. I probably shouldn't be admitting this as someone who does partly do social media marketing for folks, but I don't know. I think the Luddites and the Amish were right. Technological advancements were wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten majority of my business through Instagram, which is great. And like every time I do a video, like I'll post it on Instagram, and I've gotten clients who've seen a video I did for an agent, and they're like, oh, I want a video like that too, which is great. I think, it's just helpful to have boundaries and, just know that like there's a value to doing these kind of services, like being on these platforms, but, also like a lot of us have heard, like if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product.
Yeah.
Your time is the product, where you're being sold ads. So,
yeah, no, it's a little bit insidious at times. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about people who are just entering the field. You got your newbies. As someone who's gone through the newbie phase and has come out of it and has done well for himself, what tips or advice would you offer the new starters?
I would just say, like, it's going to be hard at the beginning. And I guess what helped me get through it was having like the Facebook community. I didn't do coaching back then, but like having the Facebook community, having people that you can, that are in the field, for real estate media, like it's more so people that are outside your service area that are not going to be your competitors or people that offer the same services in the same area. So one thing that it helped me was, like I posted in the Facebook group that I'm in, like that I'm, you know, newer to the business, like need help finding a video editor or a photo editor, or like how to do, you know, how to hire a, you know, virtual assistant, this kind of stuff. Mm. And I had somebody reach out to me and kind of show me their workflow and how that works. And so I guess just leaning on others that are in, like, that are a few steps ahead of you, that helped me. And something that I try to do with other people that reach out to me is try to help support them and give them some ideas on like what was successful.
So when you say like Facebook groups, are these just like photographers in such and such area? Like, is that the the names of these kinds of groups?
Yeah. So one of the groups is a real estate photography Facebook group. You gotta be careful with that one because there's a lot of trolls in there. And so like I'm very cautious about posting in that group where, you know, like a lot of times people will ask the same things like every week or something. Like somebody else will ask like, you know, do you have a virtual assistant you'd suggest, or like who's a video editor or photo editor or stuff. So it gets really, you know, boring and distracting. And then the coaching program I'm in is called a Real Estate Photographer Pro. So if you're interested in doing that, let me know and I can help get, help with some information about coaching, stuff like that. But that one's a much more, supportive group because like there is actually like an administrator, like there's, you know, a guy that helps people with the group, and he's like the face, the brand of the, of the coaching program. And it's more supportive. People are more friendly. Like you can ask questions and like, you're not going to get trolled. So yeah, that's where I've asked a lot of questions. Sometimes it's been helpful. Sometimes it just kind of gets, you know, like hidden or whatever. But that's been a large part of my success and just kind of seeing the wins of other people and like how I can, if that would fit in with my plan or not.
No, of course. So continuing on with that, we've also talked about how you would, every now and then you pay for a course. What are some of the tools, programs, trainings that you've received in addition to these groups that have proved really valuable to you?
Yeah. So the first one was like the Real Estate Photographer Pro. At that time they offered a course. Now they offer coaching, which is kind of their course with people helping them. So I subscribed to that. A couple other ones. One that I got was, it's called like Full-Time Filmmaker. And so that one helped me understand how to make videos. And so something I'm still working on learning is more like lighting and stuff like that. I think you can learn how to, you can spend decades learning how to do that and still not do great.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And still have room to learn. Full-Time Filmmaker. I bought like the Masterclass subscription. Masterclass is like the one that has like all these famous people teach you stuff.
Right.
I've learned stuff on, I guess the one that I recently watched all the way through was the guy that did like video blogging and stuff.
Is that the New Yorker guy that's always got the sunglasses?
The guy is like MKHD or something, but like he's the guy that does like video logging, and that like I went to that specifically to learn kind of lighting and, and stuff. So, and over time, like I've bought other courses as well, and just sometimes I make it through them. I really try hard to, but just understanding like they're, you know, we don't know what we don't know. Like we know there's going to be gaps, and just trying to, you know, continue learning. Otherwise, you know, you just stay in one place.
Yeah. That's, I remember when we opened up our studio here, I had a moment because it was a series of wonderful happenstances that gave us this opportunity. But then when we opened, I realized that I got to learn how to do my job now. Yeah. And it's always a fun moment for every business owner to have, where some of us have that wonderful privilege to learn a field for like 10 years, then you go independent. Others, they don't have that same privilege. And it's a bumpy road that follows. It's a good road if you're able to keep your head above water, but it is amazing that experience of the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. Yeah. And it's just utterly humbling.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I guess the first thing to know, like the first thing to start off with is like, if you're gonna have a business, you know, get a business license. And then I forget where I heard it, but like before you do anything, like make sure you get a business bank account, business checking, like credit card, stuff like that. So you separate your business to personal.
Yeah.
That would be like the, you know, as a newbie, that would be like the very first thing that you'd want to do. I mean, maybe take side jobs and like stuff on Venmo or PayPal to see if you want to do it. But from there, like set yourself up for success. I mean, get QuickBooks or whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
Track your miles if you're driving. Like for us, I drive a lot. So yep. I drove, I don't know, like 15,000, 20,000 miles last year. We put 20,000 miles on one of our cars, our main car last year. So you do, you know, track your mileage, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, we thankfully had a person tell us to set up our bank accounts early and to make sure that they were always divided. And we followed just about all their coaching, except for we weren't super strict with the mileage. Instead, we just kept all the receipts because we were just going to give that back to the IRS when the day came. But the IRS still wants your mile logs. Yep. And so I had to go back for a year looking through my calendar and pulling out every single time I left the office. I had to do that all manually in one sitting, and that sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, QuickBooks has their mileage, like mileage within QuickBooks. So instead of having to get like another app, but then you like, you still have to go in and like mark, like, is this business or personal?
Yeah.
And like, if you can do that in a good, like a weekly cadence or whatever, that's great.
Mm.
Or you could do like me and do it like once every 3 or 6 months and try to remember, or, like I use Google Maps, like the timeline, and I'll like check that too. But,
No, again, school of hard knocks. Mm-hmm. It's what happens when you start your own business.
Yeah. And like, it's okay to, I think like last year, my focus was just on getting clients so I can make enough money. Like this year, one of my focuses is trying to, like fill in the gaps. Like I redesigned my website, so now it looks better. I have a lot more photos and media to put on there, which makes sense. Like I'm working on getting a bookkeeper now, so that instead of me trying to do bookkeeping myself, like just pay whatever the couple hundred bucks a month is for bookkeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as time goes on, like as you keep leveling up, keep growing your business, like, you know, just filling in the cracks from there.
So this will probably be our last question, but with that whole leveling up, keeping up to date with what you have to stay afloat in this changing market, what kind of mindset have you had to learn to adopt to do all this?
I think the mindset, so I drive a lot and I listen to audiobooks a lot, along with like the group calls and stuff like that. And the mindset that has helped me is just, you know, like continue learning. So I think if I was to boil it down, like the mindset you have to have is continue learning and continue being open to like just evolving. And so like, for me, what's going to happen next, I assume, like as I've kind of built this business and people are following me and people are fans of my work, is like I'm getting booked out and too busy to do all the jobs myself. And so like my vision is for like next year or so to like hire a photographer or somebody else to help me. And with that comes a change in like leadership. And so instead of like just managing myself and like my virtual assistant, like I'll have to manage an employee, which is not something that I intended on doing, like when I, like a decade or so ago, but to grow the business and to be able to service clients, like that's, like what is the next step? And so going along the theme of like, you don't know what you don't know. Like I didn't know last, you know, 2 years ago that I would need to like be able to manage people, but just continue learning. And like, it's just a new skill, like figuring out how to hire somebody, figuring out how to like manage an employee,
right?
Kind of stuff.
Okay, so on that note, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Can you give me like top 3 or 5 books for business that are must reads?
Yeah, so a couple that I've listened to are like, number one would be like Buy Back Your Time, by Dan Martell, I think, and then number two would be like The Pumpkin Plan, or like his series of books. His name is like Mike Michalowicz, and so I'm implementing his. He's got a book called Profit First. So I'm implementing his Profit First. I've done that since the beginning of the year or so. And then like Building a Story Brand is a good one. He's got building. So the person's author's name is Donald Miller. He's got the Building a Story Brand. And then he's got like Build a Small Business, which takes the same idea of just like expanding out, you know, all these different levels of, you know, marketing and sales and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, and just lots of podcasts.
Any specifics?
So there's Real Estate Photography themed podcast that I listen to. And then Donald Miller has his own podcast that I've started listening to, which I'm getting into. But for like real estate photography, there's one called Spiro, S-P-I-R-O, business podcast, which comes on every week. There's one called Upmarket Podcast, which is about the business. And then there's one from a pair of people. One person's in Seattle, the other person's in like New England, and they have a podcast called Shooting the Shit. And so just a lot of like, I like to collect information from a lot of different sources and then like filter through what would work well for my, you know, my business. And yeah, just get a lot of perspectives that I can implement.
That was good. Always learning. It's what you got to do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Casper, that is our time again. Thank you for joining me today. One last time, where can people find you?
Yep. So my website, so hickmanariel.com. There's a book now button at the top right to see all my services. Instagram would be Hickman_Ariel, and then also on Facebook as well.
All right. Well, Casper, thank you for joining us. And thank you, dear viewer, for joining us for another episode of A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode, that you've learned something new, and that hopefully you'll come back next time when we have a whole new set of guests. So in any case, take care, be well, and I'll see you around, I'm sure. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.